Let's get out to the Band of Brothers hotline and bring in our special guest from the Salt Lake Tribune, Jay Drew, who sat down with Coach Rose down in Provo today. How you doing, Jay?
I'm doing well.
Excellent.
How are you guys?
Yeah, we're doing great.
How you doing, Jay?
I'm doing well, Dick.
How are you hitting them?
Played last Tuesday, did okay, but a little rusty.
And?
Hoping to get out again this week, though.
What was the score?
Played 27 holes, and we were in the low 40s in each nine. It hit up at Hidden Valley, so.
That's not bad. Hidden Valley's beautiful.
Yeah, it was great. Great day.
Who's taking more money from the other person? Jay to Drew or Drew to Dick?
I can't hold a candle to Dick. No way.
That's not true. We just love golf. We try to. We don't play enough golf is the problem. When we see each other on the road or opportunities that we have or media days, we don't play enough, do we, Jay? We used to.
We don't.
We haven't done a lot of that lately.
Do that more.
Jay, how was your sit down with Coach Rose?
It was nice. It's always one of those great things that Coach Rose does. I wish every coach would do it that I cover, but they used to. But now Coach Rose is the only one that gives the beat writers, this 30-minute kind of sit-down, one-on-one, private interview. So it's really cool. I'm really thankful for it that he does that every year.
The hot topic, I think, coming from your interview with him was the fact that he said he has never lost a commitment.
Yeah, what he said was I asked him, basically you just had a recent decommit. Was that the first one? I can't say the player's name because he can't specifically comment on a player who hasn't signed yet. So I just said, you recently had a decommit. Is that the first one in your tenure at BYU? And he told me at first, he said, I really can't talk about a specific player, as you know, but he said, I'll just say this, that I've never had a decommitment. And I said, still, and he said, still. So
that's a great question.
Take that for what it's worth.
That's a great question. Congratulations on coming up with that one. Knowing that we know about a certain player, Frank Jackson.
Right. Yeah. We're talking about Lone Peaks Frank Jackson, who committed to BYU before his sophomore season in 2013. And then in November, last November 2014, word kind of leaked out. That he had decommitted. Basically I just was trying to ask Rose, trying to get him to talk about it without saying the kid's name. And basically Dave said he's never had a decommitment, which either means to me, the way I took it is the young man never called BYU's coaches and told them he was decommitting, which, maybe that was Dave's way of saying, he's never called us. We don't know that. So I'm not considering it a decommitment until I actually hear from the kid. Or, maybe these other reports aren't exactly accurate that he did decommit. So who knows? But that's kind of how they're comfortable.
Oh, sorry, Jay. The reason it's so an important question, not only just to know, is that this is a team and a program that just does not have scholarships. And if you're having a guy commit, then that's very important. If you're having a guy decommit or be wavering, it probably hurts BYU more than most programs, does it not?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And, it's been well chronicled. They're over their scholarship limit. It looks like they're one over from the best I can tell. It sounds like Nate Austin, if he does get the year back, would be a non-scholarship guy. So if you throw him out, then they've got basically 14 guys coming back for 13 spots. So one of these guys is going to have to either leave the program or play, as a walk-on basically without a scholarship. So that's what he's going to sort out in the next couple days, he said.
That's tough. I mean,
it's awful tough.
Number one, I just find it, mind-boggling. When we interviewed Stephen Bayo, we found out that he accepted a preferred walk-on spot. How can you get so many guys to come to BYU and walk on? Many people think it's not an anomaly, but Jay, I still think it's it is somewhat of an anomaly, even though it is BYU.
Yeah, it's an anomaly in that when you get a guy that had other offers, all programs have walk-ons, but they're generally guys who have no other options, really, at that Division I level. But it sounds like in Stephen Bayo's case, and of course people should remember he's still got a year of high school basketball left to play, so we're talking about him for 2016. But, that is unusual that, according to reports I've read, he has other offers, like from Washington and different other programs, and to walk on at BYU, that's pretty unusual.
Last year, a surprise came down the pipe that Matt Carlino was going to leave. He was going to transfer to Marquette. How much did that affect this team negatively throughout the season? Do you think having Matt Carlino could have changed the outcome of games and maybe a longer tournament run if Matt had stayed?
Man, that's a tough question. I'd be interesting to hear what Dick says on that one as well. But my opinion is it's really hard because Matt was kind of a cancer, although that was more behind the scenes in that, his unhappiness with his role as being a shooting guard, and when Kyle Collinsworth took over the point guard position, and Matt's, time on the court was down, and plus he was playing in a position he didn't want to be playing in. So you take that kind of away, and so maybe it was addition by subtraction. But then the thing that, Matt, he was a better defender. I think a lot of people compare him to what Chase Fisher did. And I would say that Carlino was by far a better defender than Chase Fisher. Chase Fisher probably took care of the ball a little better, didn't commit as many turnovers, but then didn't push the issue as much either. He was pretty much just a hired gun, an outside shooter. So, yeah, I think they did miss Matt. I think they, I think they would have won a couple more games with Carlino. But that's, I don't know. I mean, that's, you could debate that forever. And I do realize that there was some drawbacks with what I mentioned before with the, just kind of the attitude of the team and the chemistry that was much better this year with Chase Fisher kind of playing that shooting guard role than it was with Carlino. But I'm not one of those to bag on Carlino. I think he was very, very talented, and I think there were games that he flat out won for him when he was playing, and who knows, he might have been able to do that again this year. So
I would agree. I think that's a good analysis, Jay, and I think what you would have traded is some chemistry for maybe a skilled defender and maybe a guy that could break down a defense a little bit better than guys that they had on their team. But in the trade-off, you would have lost what Halford gave the team, and you would have lost the triple doubles, probably, right. Almost all of them from Kyle Collinsworth, because Carlino would have had the ball in his hands and those numbers would have been destroyed.
Jay Drew on with us here from the Salt Lake Tribune, Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. What other news and notes did you get from your sit down with Coach Rose?
Well, there are several other things. One, we just mentioned Kyle Collinsworth. It sounds like Coach Rose expects him to be back. That there was, maybe a little concern, I guess you might say, on some BYU fans' part that Kyle would leave early for the NBA, but. It sounds like he's returning. Coach Rose said that they're still about 3 weeks away from replacing Mark Pope. That the two job openings, the director of basketball operations, Cody Feger, is going to join Pope at UVU as an assistant coach. So that leaves two openings at BYU, and I guess the job postings have to stay up until, I think, later this week. And then once they expire, then they can begin the formal interview process. And so he's thinking they're about 3 weeks away from filling those two vacancies. Let's see, what else? Oh, Tyler Haws has got an agent, and he's been working out in California. And Dave said, because Tyler was born in Belgium, and because he speaks a foreign language, I guess whatever they speak in the Philippines,
Tagalog.
He's very, very, very attractive to these overseas clubs, and he's already got several offers. But that Tyler's going to hold out and wait until the NBA draft, and you know that's his dream to play in the NBA. And so he's well on his way to preparing for that. Trying to think of some other things. Toulson. There was a little wonder if Jake Toulson would go on a mission. But it sounds like he's going to stick around and play out the 4 straight years. There's 3 guys on the team that do have mission calls: Ryan Andrus, Luke Worthington, and Dalton Nixon will all be leaving. So those are some of the things off the top of my head that he kind of revealed.
Jamal Ates, his injury, and some of the things that we've seen is, you know, it's not through yet. The guy's got a little bit of a ways to go. That's kind of bad news, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And Dave said he's back to where he's not putting weight bearing on it, which I guess would mean he's back on that little scooter thing, or he's at least on crutches, which really is not a good sign. And Dave also said that Nate Austin's injury is not really going away either. I'm not sure if he meant the back injury or the hamstring injury. So those are 2 guys that are really, going to be counted on a lot next year. So it's still up in the air with those 2.
Jay, great stuff. You can check out Cougar Nation. Can check out that article at the SaltLakeTribune.com. Appreciate you coming on our airwaves, Jay. And I want to, next time there's a golf game between you two, I'd like to be invited. So I can take both of you guys' cash.
We got to do it. Jay and I would have a lot of fun, and I'm sure that we would have fun with you.
All right, indeed. Thanks, Jay.
Okay, guys, we'll see you.
Thanks, Jay. See ya.
You know, Jay has co-hosted once with me as well.